Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am so excited to be here today because I love coming to your church. I love to see Benjamin and Linda and be with you all because it's such a really wonderful feeling to know the love of the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that transcends all languages and cultures and countries. And I would like to take just a few seconds to introduce to you our family, of course. Here we are. But the only child with us today is Sophia, and she's in the back. There, say hi, Sophia. She's not shy at all. She's very shy. I just wanted to let you see our most recent family picture. And we have some of these out there on the table as well, if you would like to grab one of these as you leave. Only Sophia will be going with us to Beijing. So that's kind of a new thing for us to only have one child at home. As you can see, Katie and Marcus were married last year, and so they, of course, are working in Portland. Andy's a freshman in college in Portland, and Julie is the only one who's not presently in Portland. She is in Los Angeles finishing up her senior year at Biola. About 6 years ago, a government worker in the Chinese government in mainland China saw the great need for families in China and said, you know, there's a real crisis for these families here. We have a society that is crumbling because there is not a strong foundation of family. And so he studied some other countries, some other Judeo-Christian values, countries that had foundational values of Judeo-Christian, and he said, I think what we need in China is that. We need that kind of foundation of family to really build China. And so he approached Family Life, which is a Christian ministry. It's a subsidiary of CRU. Have you heard of Campus Crusade for Christ? It's a wholly owned subsidiary of that. And so he approached Family Life and said, I've looked at the things that you do around the world with families and marriages, and I think that would be really good for China. But so we would invite you to come to China and do that and publish your materials, but we really wouldn't like you to bring Jesus. Because to bring Jesus would be a little difficult for, you know, the communists to swallow. So if you could just come, but just don't bring Jesus, okay? And Family Life thought about it, and they said, took about 2 seconds and said, absolutely not. We are an evangelistic Christian mission. We preach Jesus at everything. We're not going to hold back on that because that is what gives us the foundation for our families and marriages. And so the government official thought about it, and it took him about 2 seconds and said, okay. So legally, we have the ability to be in Beijing as Family Life representatives and have full access to publishing our materials and holding conferences and retreats and parenting seminars with full freedom to share the gospel as well as give them what they want in family life. And so we're very excited about the fact that we can be legal in China, which would be very difficult coming from a background of 22 years of full freedom in Taiwan of speaking the gospel and being free to do that, to all of a sudden have to be very careful. So we thank the Lord for the opportunity that this is. And it's a very unique invitation, and one we can't really ignore, because God has really been preparing our family and us to do this ministry, and we really feel called at this moment in time that God has given us an incredible opportunity to follow him in this way and serve families and marriages. We don't feel like we are the perfect family. We don't feel like we ever have been, or we've had our share of disappointments and struggles and difficulties, and we're just really grateful that in spite of our brokenness, in spite of all the things that we've been through, God can still use us. And I just want to encourage you today that you may have felt that you've gone through something that disqualifies you from serving the Lord, but God can use anyone, and he can take any of those broken pieces and build it back up and use it for his glory. So I just want to encourage you to be open to anything that God brings your way. And Will's going to explain a little bit more about, oh, he's got something else, never mind you. Okay. So.
Put it on that over there. Thank you, Susie. I want to share a verse, and in continuing with that, from Malachi 2:15, I think I've shared it before, but this is a different version. God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. That's a New Living Translation of Malachi. I want to share a story of some of our friends in Taiwan and ministry contacts, and I don't have the picture. I thought I had it, but I was how God is working to create a legacy. I met Irene in 2008 at the train station in Zhanghua when I was riding the train back home. Through an invitation, she came to an English study we had and brought her very shy boyfriend with her because he followed her wherever she went. And God worked marvelously in the lives of these people. First, Lewis came to the Lord, and God changed his life dramatically. And so much so that even though Lewis had been dating Irene for over 10 years, and we thought they were ready to get married, he said, "I'm not going to marry her until she follows and puts her faith in the Lord also." And he didn't want to give her pressure. It took several years of waiting, but she finally put her faith in the Lord. And we had the privilege of, after they got engaged, to do their premarital counseling and then to officiate at their wedding in Lugang, a rural area in Zhanghua County. It's been a little over a year, and almost 2 years now, since they've been married. They had their first baby last November, a little boy. And as they heard that we were leaving Taiwan, they came to say goodbye to us in February, just 2 months ago. And Lewis shared two things that were very important to him at that time. One was that he wanted to raise his son to know the Lord. He saw that it was his job as a spiritual leader in the family to share Christ and to teach his kids about Jesus. The second was his grandfather was dying. He was in the hospital, and he had gone into going in and out of a coma. And Lewis had never told his grandfather about Jesus. His grandfather had never gone to church and had never really had the chance to hear from somebody. And Lewis was hesitant to talk to his grandfather because he felt like, "I'm a young guy and he's an old guy. Who am I to tell my elderly grandfather that he needs to believe in Jesus?" He was very hesitant and shy about that. We prayed with him, encouraged him to do that, to go to the hospital and visit, even if his grandfather was in a coma, to go and talk to him. Well, his grandfather came out of a coma, out of unconsciousness. And he 2 days later, we see a picture on Facebook where Lewis was telling everybody his grandfather had prayed to receive Christ, and he was so excited that he had been courageous and told his grandfather about Jesus. Just 2 weeks ago, when I was back here, I looked on Facebook and saw a picture of Lewis, and he said his grandfather had just died. And he had a picture where he was praying for his grandfather in the hospital just 2 months ago. And he was very glad because his grandfather had gone to heaven now. God has used us to affect this couple for Christ, to help them to know Christ. And now this couple is seeking to leave a godly legacy with their children, and not only their children, but also all of their family. So I want to thank you guys that you have been partnering with us over the years to be able to raise up godly Chinese families and to pursue building a legacy among these people. So thank you so much. That concludes that part. I want to get into our passage now that we read from Mark 6. And I'm going to put this right there. So, can we start with that PowerPoint now? Okay, I think, keep going. Yeah, I think we, yes. Yeah, we have some, I want to, did you find it? Okay, I think we mailed it to you guys. Hopefully we have it. Okay, well, that's all right. We'll, if we don't have it, we'll just go without it. That's fine. So I'm going to be, today we're going to be talking about five promises of God that cannot be destroyed when we go through the storms of life. Natural disasters happen to us all the time. And when they come, they can bring destruction in families and destruction in the society. We face all kinds of not only natural disasters, but we face disasters in our families sometimes. Divorce, disease, death, betrayal, bankruptcy, abuse, adultery, losing a job, addictions. All of these are also different kinds of storms that hit our lives. And these storms shatter our lives. They break our hearts, and they cause the destruction of our dreams. I want to share a story of somebody in Chicago that's a good friend of ours that loves Jesus, that has served Jesus, and they love their family. The wife was a teacher, and the husband was a welder for the Chicago Water Department. They blessed people. They were always welcoming people into their home. They served the Lord. They were seeking to obey God. They had been married about 30 years when one day the wife was teaching at school, in public school, and just dropped from a heart attack and died. Just very suddenly, her life was ended at about 48 years old. Jim, our friend, suddenly became a widower, and he was going to have to face life on his own without his wife that he thought he would be living with for the rest of his life. It crushed him, but he determined that he was going to keep serving the Lord and trusting God and looking to God to help bring healing to him. His faith was strong, and he displayed great courage in the midst of an incredible storm in his life. Over time, he met a lady on eHarmony or some internet dating website, a single Christian lady. They decided to get married. They dated for a while, and then they got married. Well, Jim, for him, this second marriage was the start of a new series of storms in his life. His new wife had really bad health, and till to date has had 16 surgeries and like 10 years of marriage. I think it was 10 years. And he found that getting married to her, she had incredible issues of anger. And he had started getting counseling to try to help him deal with the issues that were of the anger in their marriage. And his life has been a series of different storms since being married to his second wife. He had three children that he and his wife had trained in the Lord and had taught them about God. But his son struggled with addiction to drugs, and about 2.5 years ago, after he had just had this guy had just had his first child, a very young kid, not even a year old, he ended his life with an overdose of drugs. Our dear friend had to not only bury his wife of 30 years, but he also had to bury his son, and all this while still in the midst of the storms of a marriage that was really tough on him. Sometimes when we follow God and obey Him and submit to Him, we are led right into the storms. It's like God is leading us into a storm. But God is faithful. I want you to know today, through all that you hear in this message, that God is faithful, that God is strong, and that He will lead and protect you when He leads you into a storm. We're going to look at the life of Jesus and His disciples. We see a lot of examples of how Jesus would lead His disciples into storms. From this story today in Mark 6, verse 42 through... I got to get my passage. Mark 6, 45. Just before Jesus had sent His disciples to go out on the boat, we see that He had fed the 5,000. And after feeding these 5,000, He's tired. He has been serving people. He's been spending His time paying attention to people's needs. Well, the people wanted to make Him king, and He needed to get away, to be alone from people. So He decided, I'm going to send my disciples out on the boat, and I'm going to go up to the mountain. So that's where this story starts. As we started in verse 45, we say immediately He made His disciples get into the boat, to go ahead of him. Before that, he had just done incredible things in feeding 5,000 people. So today, we're going to talk about five ways or five promises that Jesus has to help us through the storm. The first is that God has a beautiful plans and he is leading us. And we need to know that. Sometimes you're going to be in the storms of life in difficult things, and you need to know that God has his purposes, that God is leading you. It's interesting to see that in this passage in Mark 6:45, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him. So he sent them out. He's directing them. He's leading them. Sometimes it seems like God is leading us into difficult places. All of you can probably think of things that difficult things you've been through, and you thought that it was God leading you. In 6:15, it says that he sent them off to go elsewhere. He wanted to be alone with the Father so that God could help to align him with God's kingdom. He wanted to get alone, and he was not willing to submit to man's will. I think back about 22 years ago, whenever Susie and I went to Hong Kong, we've been with some Cantonese in another church, so we've been talking about Hong Kong, to Taiwan. We went to Taiwan. Shortly after getting to Taiwan, a few months later, I got shingles and meningitis, and I was in the hospital. And this was where God led us. And here I am, all of a sudden, in the hospital, and with severe headaches, and feeling really bad. Had to stay in the hospital for about 4 days. But God led us through those difficulties, and he still is leading us. So sometimes he sends us to places and you experience incredible difficulties. As you read the scriptures, you're going to see Jesus' followers, that they went through all kinds of things when they were following him. Some people that loved him and they were seeking his will, they got sick, or they were put in jail, or they were stoned. They were faced solitary confinement. Some were persecuted and killed. We know that God has a purpose for us. Romans 8:28 says that in all things God works together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So his purposes always include your best. And I want you today to know that his purposes include your best. That's one of the promises that God has for us, that he has his purpose for our lives, that he is leading us. Even when you're loving God and serving him, you're going to still struggle. It doesn't mean that when you start following Jesus as a young person that it's just going to be easy going through college or getting a job. You're going to still struggle. You're going to have storms. And when you do have those storms, don't think that God is punishing you. Just because you're experiencing difficulties does not mean that God is punishing you or judging you. Unless you're living in sin, then you can guess there's probably a correlation between the two. So trust God to lead you through those things. So this is the first promise that I want you to recognize today as you go through storms, is that God has his plans and that God has his purpose for us, and that sometimes he does lead us into storms and he wants to carry us through those. The second thing that I want us to know is that he's praying for us, that Jesus is praying for us. It says in there that he got off to the mountain and he was praying. What do you think he was praying about? It doesn't really say what he was praying about there. But when we look at other passages in the Bible, we can see, like John 17, it says that I pray for you, I don't pray for those who are in the world, I pray for you because you belong to me. So Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for you when you're going through tough things. I think about my kids. Whenever I send my kids off to college, that means they literally left Taiwan and they would come to America, so they're going a long ways away. I can't be near them. And so I try to pray for them every day, to pray and to trust God to lead and guide them, that they would be strong in their faith and face the temptations. I think that Jesus is the same. He is a much better prayer warrior than I, praying for you and for me, that he prayed for his disciples. He prays for us to make it through and to be faithful through the hard things that we go through, because he desires to see you make it through that. His desire is that you succeed in pursuing him and serving him and loving people richly. So that's His desire, to see you make it through the difficult things, to grow in His grace. When you've called out to God, what has happened? Have you ever had an experience where you've asked God to come help you, to deliver you, to save you, to hear your prayers? What has happened? Do our prayers make a difference? Do your prayers make a difference in life? I hope that you will experience that God is answering your prayers and that He is hearing you whenever you call out to Him. Jesus' prayers for us are very important. It's important for your growth, for your endurance, making it through tough times. In James, we're told that the prayers of a righteous man are effective. They have much effect. So your prayers, as you seek God, have much effect in your life. So the second one is His prayers for us. He's praying for us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is interceding for us also. The third thing that the storms of life cannot destroy is His presence. They're all P's today, so you'll be able. It's easy to remember. Okay, His purpose, His prayers. The third one is His presence. After Jesus finished praying, what did He do? Verse 48. Let's turn to verse 48. Okay, let's see. 48. It says He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. After that, He went out to them. So He saw them. He noticed their struggles. Then He went out there onto the water. So Jesus is paying attention to us. How do we know that He's not indifferent to us? How do you know that He's not indifferent to your struggles in life? Okay, I want you to think about that. There's references in the Bible where Jesus was out in the community. He's walking in John 9:1. He was walking into a city, and it says He noticed a man sitting beside the road who was blind. He noticed him, and He healed him. And what happened to that man? Do y'all remember what happened to that man after he was able to he was healed? What happened to him? People opposed him. People were angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and so they started opposing this guy, and they kicked him out of the temple. Jesus heard that they had opposed this guy, and so He went and looked for that man again, and He encouraged him to believe in Him. So He was paying attention to people that were hurting, people that needed help. And He always noticed them, just like it says that He saw that the disciples were straining, and He went out to them. We have a promise in Psalms that God is near to the brokenhearted. So when you feel brokenhearted, just realize God wants to be near to you. He wants you to draw near to Him, and He wants to be near to you. So what happened when Jesus got in the boat with them? Okay, let's see. Shortly after dawn. Keep going into, I think it's verse 51. Can you go down to the next one? Okay. He climbed into the boat, and the winds died down. So He climbed into the boat, and he calmed the situation, the storm that they were in. He was able to make it so that they could experience His peace. He calmed the storm with His presence. Have you ever noticed, sometimes you'll see a little kid that is just very fearful. And whenever he sees his parents and he feels the safety of the parent, he'll just start crying and just break down. I've seen that with little kids before, and we've seen it with our own kids, that there's just the fear in them. And when they sense that their parents are here and now it's safe, and just to let those tears out and to cry. To feel the presence of a parent for a little kid is just comforting, and it gives them strength to realize it's going to be okay now. And I think for His disciples, that's what they had to experience. Stephen, whenever he was being stoned, it says that he looked up and he saw Jesus standing. I think the image of Jesus as he saw Him standing, that gave Stephen the confidence to face death without fear. He wasn't fearful whenever he was being stoned, because he was able to be reminded that God is with me, And God wants you to be reminded that He's with you also. Jesus has said He's willing to give His life for His friend. That there's no greater love than this, to give your life for your friend. And He wants His presence to be a strength to us. How does He show His presence to us? How does He manifest it? Well, one is He gives us the Holy Spirit to abide in us, to fill us. Not only is the Holy Spirit in us, but He shows His presence by sometimes sending a friend, a family member, or somebody that cares for you to encourage you. So God shows His presence through us sometimes loving other people or other people loving us. And then lastly, He sends His angels. The Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits of God. So He's showing His presence to you in a lot of different ways. And we just need to have our eyes to recognize that and to just to recognize that God wants to be with us. So when we die in the storms, we can experience God's presence just like Stephen. So we don't have to fear. So the third one is His presence. The fourth promise that we have that the storms of life cannot destroy are His peace. His peace can be with us. Do you think peace is important in people's lives today? Do people care about peace? Yes. Whenever Jesus was resurrected from the dead, what was the first thing that He said to His disciples? Who knows what He said? He said, "Oh, let's go eat." Did He say, "Oh, don't worry about what happened"? He said, "Peace be with you." He knew His disciples needed peace. They were fearful. And that was the first thing He said. You need peace, and I'm giving you peace. So accept my peace. Peace is important. We need that in our hearts. Did you know that you can experience peace in the midst of turmoil? If it's a natural disaster or it's a sickness in your family, you can experience God's peace. We have a friend, a missionary in Japan, who just last year or 2 years ago was diagnosed with late-stage cancer. And she continued, she was a singer, and she continued giving concerts for the Japanese to be able to hear about Jesus. And she expressed that she had incredible peace, and she knew that her life was not going to be going very long. She was going to die soon, but she expressed peace. She had peace in the midst of facing death. Do you think that's insane? Would you say that kind of person is just crazy? Or is it supernatural? It is supernatural whenever you can face an incredible storm in life and still have God's peace, whether it's the final exam that's coming up and you're just not sure if you're going to pass it, or if it's a friend that just broke off a friendship with you and you're just struggling with that. You can have peace in the midst of turmoil, and God wants to give us peace. And the storms of life don't necessarily have to destroy that peace. They don't have to keep us from experiencing it. Verse 48, it says that in Mark 6:48, He was about to pass by them. The very end of that verse, He was going to go by them. When He's out walking on the water, and they're in this boat, and they're in the midst of a storm, He was going to walk by them. Why is that? Why wouldn't He just... Certainly Jesus cared about His disciples, and He wasn't just going to ignore them. He knew that they were struggling with the winds blowing and the boat. Maybe the boat was about to turn over. It seems like that He was intentionally going to walk by them and see what they were going to do, whether they were going to call out to Him or whether they were just going to depend on their own strength to get them through that storm. God wants sometimes to see. He holds back and waits to see whether you and I are going to call out to Him. John 14:14, Jesus said, "If you ask for anything in My name, I will give it to you." So we need to invite Him. We need to call Him. We need to call out for His peace in our lives. Can you think of a time when you didn't invite Jesus into your situation or into your struggles, into your difficulties? Can you think of a time? I can think of one. Just recently, when we came back to the U.S., we moved all of our things in a big 20-foot container from Taiwan to Portland. And we were when we signed the the contract in Taiwan with the moving company. It was supposed to be from our door in Taiwan to our door in Portland. Sounds so easy, and you just pay up front, and then it's all settled, and it'll get to you, and no problems whatsoever. Is that the way it happens? Nope. It didn't happen that way. The first thing when it got to the U.S. Customs, after we had already paid customs in Taiwan for the U.S., they wanted more money to be able to allow it to go through customs. They said, well, you have to pay $650 for it to go through because this is how much we're going to charge. And if you don't pay it, it's $100 a day until you decide, until we get the payment. So they needed money. So we paid that and ended up having to. Then they told us once it was through customs, I'm sorry, the company in the U.S. is not, we cannot deliver it to your door. You give us the name of a factory and we'll deliver it to a factory and then you can get it, you can figure out how to get it home. This is a 20-foot container that's very heavy. You can't put it on the back of our Beetle that we just bought. So now we have a problem that they don't want to deliver it. They said we cannot deliver it to a residence. And so I got the phone call while we were driving one day and I'm frustrated and starting to get angry with them because of all these things that they're doing. They're changing on us. And I'm just letting this anger build up in me, frustration, and forgot to pray. And Susie told me, okay, while we're driving, we need to pray immediately because this is something we don't know what to do in this situation. And so we pulled over. We prayed. By the time we got home, I called another company. And they said, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of it for you. I'll contact the company in Taiwan. We'll ask them to pay so we can get a new shipper, and we'll ship it to your door. You just don't worry about it. I've got it taken care of for you. I didn't tell them we prayed. I didn't tell them the frustration. But this man just took it upon himself to contact all these companies. There were three companies, and he straightened it out for us. And it came to our door. We didn't have to pay any more, even though there were funds that had to be paid to somebody. And he took care of it. Well, he took care of it because God heard a prayer and answered it and helped us through that situation. Not always when we pray, does God straighten out a situation that we're going through. It's not just like magic, but I want to encourage you to pray whenever you go through storms and difficulties because God does hear our prayers and He does want to lead us through those things. Some people might go through a storm for many, many years, and it just seems like it's not getting resolved. Keep praying. Keep calling out to the Lord. The thing I was reminded when I was thinking about the idea of peace was, you and I are like sponges. You get a sponge filled with water, and you squeeze it, and then the water falls out. And if you want to get it wet again, you have to dip it back into the water to fill it up again. And I think that I'm like that with peace. I could be experiencing God's peace right now, and then later on I hit something difficult, and it's like I'm being squeezed like a sponge, and all the peace just oozes out of me, and I'm just getting anger and frustration and disappointment. And we need to call out to Him often for His peace. And so peace comes and peace goes. And if we're not careful, we could be living our lives without calling on Him for His peace and experiencing His peace. So we need that peace in the midst of the storms when you're in the boat and the winds are blowing. We need that. We need to constantly be coming back to the Lord and calling out to Him. So the fourth promise is His peace. And the storms of life, if you're willing to call out to Him and seek Him, His peace will be with you to guard your hearts and your minds. The fifth one is His power. How was the power of Jesus displayed in that situation? Did He give them the power to walk on the water? There was one of the guys, Peter walked on the water. In a different passage, it talks about how Peter walked on the water. But they still had to stay in the boat, and they still had to go back. But He calmed the storms down. He made the winds die down, and He displayed His power over the winds and the waves. And so that was how He displayed His power for them. Imagine, I had some pictures of some typhoons that had hit both Katrina. I have pictures of Katrina in my PowerPoint and pictures of typhoons in Taiwan and the incredible water and the winds. But I think the winds blew my PowerPoint away. I'm not sure where it went when I sent it. Imagine standing on the shore when Katrina hit New Orleans and just telling the winds and the waves to stop, and it just stopped. Well, that's the power that Jesus has. He is powerful, and he can stop winds and waves from coming, and he can help you in the worst situations that you're going through to help you to make it through those things. So there's a common factor in experiencing these promises in our lives, that we've got to call out to God and we've got to invite him into our situation. You need to have faith. You need to call out in faith to him. In John 11 with Lazarus, it says that that Lazarus, when he died, Jesus went to visit his sisters. Well, he comforted them. He listened to them. He ministered to them first. Ooh, look at that. You found the picture there. That wasn't the one I put up, though, I don't think. he ministered to them, but then he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. We have that same kind of power today. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have power to be my witnesses. So he came to give us power, and he wants us to be a witness for him. So there's the Trinity Advertising Company. You've heard of the Trinity Advertising Company, right? You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're glorifying each other. The Holy Spirit came to glorify the Father. Jesus glorifies the Father. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Jesus is honoring and glorifying the Holy Spirit. So they have a Trinity Advertising Company. They are glorifying each other. That's the word glorify can also mean to advertise something. So we are called to be part of that Trinity Advertising Company. We are advertising the goodness, the greatness, the mercy of God. When you glorify him, you are advertising his goodness to others. So God has given us power to be able to carry out our task in the world, our jobs of glorifying him, of serving him, and serving people, even in the midst of hurts and struggles that we have. He saved you and he saved me so that we can know him, so that we can be about living our lives to glorify and advertise him. So we have power. He gives us his power to love people, to forgive people, even our enemies. He gives us power to be generous, to be able to share with others, to boldly speak about him, something that we couldn't have done without his power. I need God's power in my life. And you need God's power in your life also. I can't make it through tough times that I've been through without God strengthening me. And you need God's power in your life also. The storms of life cannot destroy God's power. I want to, in conclusion, there's a main point that I want you to take away today. You might have something else that you come up with, but something I wanted to share is my main point is that it's not in the absence of difficulties that we need for our lives. It's not the absence of difficulties we need, but we need to understand God's purpose, His prayers for us, His peace, His presence, and His power. It's those things that are going to help us to make it through difficulties in life. So through the storms of life, including two deaths and a relationship that has drained my friend Jim, he still trusts God, and he's seeking God for his purposes, his prayers, his presence, his peace, and his powers. As you go through the storms of life, I want to ask you also to look up and to ask God to give you a fresh vision for his purposes, how he's leading you, to experience his presence, to experience the blessings and the benefit of his prayers for you, his peace and his power. And after you do that, I want to challenge you to reach out and to do the same and comfort other people and to help other people through their trials and their struggles in life. Let's bow our heads and pray, and I want to ask God to lead us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this example. Jesus, when you sent your disciples into a storm, they weren't out of your will, but they still struggled with something that was fearful and scary and life-threatening. And you showed yourself powerful to them. You showed that You were willing to come into their situation. You had been praying for them. You continued to pray for them. And the same way, today, you're praying for us. Your prayers are effective. You desire to show your presence to us, and your power, your purposes, your leading in our lives. We need you, Lord. We need you because it's a difficult world to follow you in. We're weak. Much of the difficulty is because of our weakness and our fears and our sinful selfishness. We need you to lead us and to guide us and to help us to grow in our trust of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you desire to join us in the midst of our storms in life. We commit ourselves to you today. You know our hearts. You know our weakness. You know what we're going through, each one of us and our families. And thank you that you still have mercy on us, that you still are willing to walk with us and to hold us and to strengthen us through these things. Lord, we commit ourselves to you today because you are our only hope. We have no one to turn to except you. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.